This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Second when I hit record, the screen flashed for a second and you were replaced with an ML, and then it came right back to your Oscar mark.
That's what it is. It's me and the Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile.
Yep.
I thought I changed it. Oh well.
Yeah, maybe you did, but for me it's still you standing in front of the Wiener mobile.
That was a good day. We were doing the downtown Gardner trick-or-treating. It was like on a Friday. So it was like I think Halloween was a Saturday or Sunday that week. But anyway, so Friday during the day, they do the downtown trick-or-treating for the kids. And because of my night shift work, it's like I can take them there. So I picked them up and I said, all right, here's what we're doing. We're not going to rush. We're going to take our time. Everything, the businesses are just starting because they closed the street and everything. But, you know, we're not going to run through it because it'll be done in 10 minutes and it'll just take our time, blah, blah, blah. Okay. All right, Dad. We're not going to run. We're not going to push anybody. Okay. Okay. And then we get down on Water Street and I look and the Wienermobile is sitting there and there's nobody going, oh my God, it's the Wienermobile. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Hurry, hurry, move. Go. Houston. Shit. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, so I was very excited. It was a good day.
Love it.
Hell yeah. So.
So we're recording. All right. Anytime you want to start.
Yeah. Oh, like you're gonna cut that off. Hello, everyone. Hell welcome no. to episode 256 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Sit up, friend.
We're getting closer to normalcy. I think it's a good time. We haven't really talked about anything pandemic related for a little while, so I think it's good to acknowledge you got an injection the other day.
Yeah, last Wednesday I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine there. Not because I'm old, but because I work in public safety and considered a first responder.
Yep. And the governor of Maine has pushed up all of our timetables. As of tomorrow, 50-year-olds and up in Maine can get the vaccine. And then as of April 19th, everybody 16 and up.
Yeah.
So my prediction is this. I think it's going to be basically a week. Like the 50-year-olds are going to be eligible for like a week, and then they'll be like, oh, now 40-year-olds. Oh, now 30-year-olds. I think they're just going to like ramp it up quickly because it would kind of be a little bit of chaos if they were like, okay, everybody 50 and up is eligible. And then in like 3 weeks, we're like, okay, everybody go.
Yeah. I see. Like, I feel like they're going to make changes as well, but, yeah. You know, it'll be nice when people, there's still a lot of people. I'm sputtering a lot, but there's still a lot of people out there that are choosing to not get the vaccine.
Right.
Which I don't understand personally, but yeah.
And, well, it's twofold there. One, I don't understand it personally. And two, by them not doing it, they're putting me and my family and loved ones at risk. So
yeah.
Exactly. It's not just that I don't understand it. I fucking hate it. So don't be a dick. Wear your mask and get a fucking vaccination.
Yeah, those people in dispatch that had chosen not to get the vaccine when they had the option back in February, maybe end of January, February. And then... Now they want to get it because they're basically told that if they want to go on vacation out of state, as long as they've had their vaccine for 2 weeks, when they come back, they don't have to quarantine. They can get a negative test, fine. So now they all want to get it. That didn't get it before.
Wow.
And ironically, one person, they just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Sorry, you were saying ironically one person.
Ironically, one person was scheduled to get their COVID vaccine this past Saturday, but well, they
okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guarantee you, you know, as soon as they say, okay, 40-year-olds and up, I'm making my appointment. Stick it in my arm.
Yep. Oh, my wife is too. Once they hit 30-year-old and up.
Yep. And it's going to be great. And God, you and I are going to be back to recording in person before you.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, we will be. That'll be exciting. That'll be very exciting, actually.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? The last couple of days, we had some pretty glorious weather. On Sunday, we hit 60s. We were outside. I got back from picking up groceries, and my wife's brother and our nephew came over because yesterday was my five-year-old's birthday, who's now six, Wesley's birthday. So they had come over and everything, and then we stayed outside. Kate's mom brought the cake over, so it was just – so that was the total party people right there. And we actually ended up staying outside, and we were outside for over almost 6 hours yesterday. It was awesome. Played some basketball, went for a walk, just got some sun. I read some book. It was really nice. It was really, really nice. And then I was back in the office today, but when we got home, it was nice to – oh, I took the grill out yesterday.
Ooh, so, there you go.
Yeah, we had burgers on the grill last night. We had – pork chops on the grill tonight, so it was nice to be. And then we went for a walk after dinner because the sun was still shining, because it doesn't get dark at 4 o'clock right now. It's getting dark around 7. So yeah, it was a good day.
Speaking of beautiful weather, and I know you know this because I saw that you were one of the people that liked it. Skowhegan Drive-In has put out an ad that they're looking for somebody to work their concession stand.
Yep. If I was a teenager and I lived nearby, that's what I would do.
I had to laugh my ass off, though, because they were like, it's mandatory that you have experience in the food service industry and all of DHHS's standards. And I'm like, they're working at a snack bar.
Yeah,
at a
good luck with that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit much of a reach for me.
Yeah.
So,
but it reminded me that, you know, they're going to start opening up soon. And the drive-in, like, Skowhegan was one of the last ones to open this past season.
Yeah, a lot of them didn't open till May, but it also depends on the ground and how much rain we get, how muddy the ground gets and everything like that. You know, Pride's Corner opened in May, like first weekend in May last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited for that to come back.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for all of them. I'm taking full advantage this year, not just because of pandemic stuff. Like, I imagine that the movie theaters will start opening up now that the vaccines are rolling out, but I'm looking forward to, you know, packing into a vehicle and going to a drive-in and just like having an SUV, laying the back seat down and just laying in the back and watching a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking great. Packing a little picnic and yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fantastic. It really is. I'm very much looking forward to it myself. You know, we pop a bunch of corn, bring it with us, you know, buy some candy at the concession stand or whatever. But just, yeah, I'm, you know, and realistically, I like it when they play family movies so I can bring, like, the kids. And I like it when they play movies that Kate and I can go to or you and I can go to, you know, once we can. So,
yeah.
Awesome. Like Evil Dead last year. The Evil Dead Pieces double feature was amazing.
Pieces. Oh, my God.
I think I want to watch that again.
I want to see that in the drive-in again.
Yeah. But let's get to what we did watch this week.
Do we have to?
Well, it wasn't a lot.
No. And I'm done with another show as of this.
Oh,
actually,
which one?
Two. Hold on. Two. Oh. I'm just looking at my list here. Yeah, I canceled two shows this week. So,
or would you cancel?
The One on Netflix.
Oh, I didn't even watch a single episode of that.
Yeah, I got halfway through the second episode and I went, why the fuck am I watching this? It's so boring and it's so annoying and I'm done.
Yep.
And the other one, I never thought I'd reach this point. I didn't think it was possible, but after watching this week's episode of The Flash, I went, fuck no, never watching this show again.
Really? What happened this week that made you turn it off?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because I took notes. My first note was the word seriously, followed by a question mark.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. This week, everything was all about the power of love and about tying up the loose ends of the Mirror Master. Sorry, Mirror Monarch. Because, you know, she was going to be the ruler of the new world. And they, so basically she was sending her duplicates through any reflective surface everywhere to body snatch people, and they would drag somebody into the mirror universe and replace them in this universe, because as she said, the humans in this world didn't appreciate things enough and they were destroying it, so her people were going to do better. And Iris was kind of in a coma, but, you know, don't worry, Barry brought her back with the power of love. And I mean that quite sincerely, because he reminded everybody that he was the avatar of love, as did the Wells that showed up for one fucking episode and then told us all, well, you know, I can travel through time and I can go instantly to any point that I want to in my entire life of this Wells. So I'm going to go back and spend the last 4 years of my wife's life with her and then keep repeating that forever because, you know, I can do that. We got to see Ralph Dibny come back. Oh, but wait, didn't he get fired? Didn't that actor get fired? Oh, okay. So he showed up as a melted blob because, you know, there were some super solar guns that melted him, and they had to put him into the rejuvenating chamber, which at the end was just a rejuvenating mask that looked like something that Daft Punk would wear. In fact, they made a joke about him looking like Daft Punk. And then him and Sue said, no, we're going to go off and do our own thing, so we'll talk to you never. So they just wrote him off the show without bringing back that actor. Dick move.
Yeah, it kind of is.
They had the big showdown with Mirror Monarch, and, you know, they had such great lines as, you brought your team. Guess I should bring a team, too. And then she duplicated herself infinitely. But, you know, that was only like 12 of them. And then lost the ability to control them. But don't worry, because Iris was there. And Iris can control them because, you know, she was in the Mirror Universe, too. So she has all of her powers and can control them. Not only that, but did you know that Iris can bring the Speed Force back? Not the artificial Speed Force that Barry will never use again, because, you know, Thawne did that and it made him evil. And, you know, Barry saw what happened to him. So he wants to bring the regular Speed Force back, the one that died, that was killed, that they had that whole big thing and said, this will kill the Speed Force. It will be dead. And the Speed Force personified itself and said, I will be dead. You will never be able to see me again. And Barry's like, but it lives in Iris because she was a speedster at one point, and we have the power of love. So they brought the Speed Force back because Iris grabbed that little box thing that killed Wells. Oh, yeah, she grabbed it. She was fine because, you know, she's fucking Iris and she can do anything she wants, including control the mirror duplicates. Yeah. Oh, and Mirror Monarch, those duplicates, like she had a gun on her hand. And could have killed Barry because, as they made sure to extrapolate and explain to you, all of her cells are made up of subatomic blah, 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 which is faster than light. So she can move faster than Barry. So she leveled the gun on him and they got it away from her. But when she made her duplicates, they all had copies of that same gun, even though it wasn't in her hand. Yeah, and then they convinced her that, you know, her way was wrong, and so she wanted to control the duplicates and make them stop, but she couldn't. So then Iris grabbed her hand and held her hand to help her do it, and then Barry grabbed her other hand, and they all did the fucking Care Bear stare, and all the duplicates disintegrated. And everybody popped back from the Mirror Universe safe and sound, including Singh and Camilla, and everybody was happy. Yay. The end.
– Yeah, so I'm just going to
watch this.
I missed nothing.
I almost wish you had watched it so that you could have seen this horse shit. And, like, literally, it was cheesy. It was stupid. Like, watching the big fight between Flash and Team Flash and all of the mirror doubles was cheesy. It was mostly them just standing there waving their hands around going, I hope they put my freeze powers in post-op. Yeah. I'm done. Done with that show.
Can't say I blame you there. Nope. That's kind of why I stopped watching it.
So now that I've ranted for a while, why don't you talk about the opposite side of that, which is Superman and Lois?
Oh. So you expect me to have an opposite point of view
on
Superman
and Lois? The opposite side of the coin. Like, there are two superhero shows that we're watching right now. So...
Well, technically three.
Oh, yeah. Now we are.
Fucking Winter Soldier. Not Winter Soldier, but you know what I mean.
They're not.
Basically Winter Soldier.
In terms of quality.
Okay, so... I don't know. I'm still on the fence about this show after the most recent episode, Haywire. There was less teen-related stuff in it, which I've been thinking about why I'm having a hard time with the CW shows, quite frankly.
You had touched upon it a week or two ago and saying that it was because you weren't a young idiot with drama on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably not to do with it. No, what I mean is, like, all right, so I love Legends. Legends doesn't have teen drama, and it has over the top ridiculousness, but in a good way, like, you know, fighting a giant emo and musical montages.
It knows that it's ridiculous and it leans into it.
It embraces it. Yes. You know, Arrow, I enjoyed it at first, but then it's almost like Supernatural outstayed its welcome.
Yes.
I think Flash. You know, Arrow just kind of, and Flash is doing the same thing. It's just kind of going on for so long, and it's like, all right, so what are we going to do next? It's like, hey, these comic books survive for 80, 90, 100 years, however long, you know what I mean, depending on the characters, but these comic books survive for 50 plus years because they switch up writers and they change stories and they do crazy things. However, at the same time, these comic books will go on slumps for years where no one's really buying that many issues. And as a whole, it's like their ratings are low, but they never get canceled, if you will. And then something will happen. They'll get a resurgence. You can't do that with a TV show, because a comic book takes maybe 20 minutes of your time to read, 15 minutes or whatever it is. And, you know, as opposed to a 45 minute TV show that you're sitting there like just being bored to tears. So I don't know. Like, anyway, Superman's father-in-law, General Lane. One of the stories is he wants Clark to escort Thaddeus Kilgrave, who's being transferred out of Metropolis, because now that Superman's not in Metropolis all the time, like, crime's starting to rise up. Clark doesn't want to do it because, you know, he's got to spend time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Thaddeus. Right. Yeah. Now he is that. But of course, you know, Thaddeus breaks out and people are killed. And then he sets a trap for Superman. And then Superman's sons are in trouble. So, of course, Superman can immediately overcome, you know, Thaddeus and stop everybody.
Dude, when he was getting pummeled by that sonic blaster and then he managed to hear his kids go, "Dad."
Yeah.
Okay. First off, he's being pummeled by a sonic blaster. How did he hear anything?
Well, but they did press the ELT device there.
When he rallied like that, tell me it wasn't just a friggin' 1980s wrestler.
Well, of course it was. He hulked up.
Whoa! And he
hulked up, and then he did the big clap.
He's down.
He did the big clap and knocked everybody down. I gotta go. So, but because of all this, and then... You know, Lane also finds out that the boys know that he's Superman. And not only do they find out that the boys know he's Superman, but he finds out that, you know, Jordan's got powers. which he's not happy about. And so Lane decides he gets to initiate contingency plan 7734.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Yeah. And then more Edge and his Droogie the Alar, who has got like Superman type powers, it looks like. Apparently, they find a supply of X kryptonite buried in the Schuster mine that he wanted to buy and reopen so he can, I guess, make more supervillains. I don't know. I mean,
he made it sound like he was going to bring people back from the dead.
Oh, yeah, that too. That too, actually. Yes. Yes, that's right. It was, he was bringing people back from the dead and reanimating corpses to make them supervillains. That's true. So, yeah, I didn't hate the episode. I didn't care for the teen drama shit. And then, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm just really. I don't know if it's I'm not into anything right now, which is not even true, but I'm just not into stuff right now. Like this past month, I feel that way.
I was going to say, I think later on when we talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you'll have a different view.
Oh, no, I was super into that. That's why I said not everything, but just I feel like this past month for something to really get my attention and make me want to commit time to sit and watch it. It's really got to be good in my level of good or my opinion of good, which is not the same as everyone else's, I understand. But that's kind of where I feel like I'm at with any entertaining media that's going to take my attention.
By the way, I just looked it up real quick. History lesson. In the comics on Earth One, X Kryptonite was created by Supergirl in an attempt to create an antidote to kryptonite poisoning. X-Kryptonite temporarily endowed non-Kryptonians with Kryptonian-like superpowers. In the Arrowverse, it appears to be a naturally occurring variant of Kryptonite found in multiple locations on Earth that can endow humans with some Kryptonian-like superpowers, although the effects from accidental exposure can be unstable and debilitating.
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
So that's going to explain why we've got some supers running around with Superman's powers.
Yeah. So
no, I get what you're saying. It's I hate to use this phrase because it sounds cheap and it makes us sound like we're better than that, but it's like we've kind of outgrown that kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, not that we're old, not that we're better than that, but just it no longer serves us. I certainly don't feel entertained by
it. Doesn't serve us like it used to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same way that I find, a lot of like Michael Scott's antics on The Office very cringeworthy, whereas most people find them very amusing.
I cannot get into Michael Scott or The Office in any way, shape, or form. I have tried more than once. I just can't do it.
There's so much that I love about it. I'm not going to say I hate The Office, but there is so much to do with him. It's the cringe. It's the ignorance. You know, ignorance comedy just doesn't do it for me. But a lot of people love it. So what else did you... what else did you like this week? But so far, we haven't really talked about much that we've liked.
I liked... on The Office, I did like the Dwight and... Is it Dwight?
Dwight and Jim.
Rainwell. Character? Yes. I love watching those clips on YouTube. I can get behind watching those YouTube clips all the time of all the harassment and hilarity with those two. That I can get behind on that show. Absolutely. It's not worth sitting through Michael Scott to see it.
No. No. Like you said, you can just watch the clips on like YouTube or whatever.
I think my favorite one is when they got the Asian Jim to come in. Yeah,
I was a particular fan of when Jim was in a different branch for a while, and he had taken a ream of Dwight's personal stationery and would send him faxes from future Dwight.
Yes, yes, that was good as well. Yeah, so I watched Young Rock. I was trying to decide what I want to talk about.
College football.
It was a good episode. This is a weird type of mindlessness that I don't mind watching.
Same.
You know, we got to see troubles with his grandmother being deported, and we got to see troubles with his parents moving to Florida to support him, and him getting injured his freshman year and getting redshirted and getting depressed and going home and sitting on the couch and being sad for himself, and then overcoming that, you know, adversity and coming back to be a member of the football team again, if you will, and not just a sideline. You know what I mean? Like, get his head out of his ass and get going type of thing.
Right.
So I enjoy it. There's not a whole shit ton to break down from this episode, quite frankly. But again, I enjoy the show. I'll keep watching it while it's on. I honestly would be surprised if we got renewed for a second season. Mm-hmm. But the ratings do seem to be pretty big.
Yes.
Pretty decent. And it does involve The Rock, and pretty much everything that Dwayne Johnson touches is gold right now. So,
yeah.
On the other end of the spectrum, the other NBC comedy that we're watching, Superstore, I'm just watching this till it's done.
Mm-hmm. If
this wasn't the last season, I wouldn't be watching it. I would stop. We didn't finish last season.
You have to admit that it was nice to see Dave Foley show up.
No, he annoyed the piss out of me so bad.
Oh, he was fucking terrible. He was a terrible person.
I hated his character so bad. But yes, I enjoyed seeing him. Yes, well, he didn't really make him.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, don't tell my wife. I spoiled my appetite.
I thought it was
nice seeing him back.
But it was pissed me off so much that they brought Amy back into it. God damn it.
At the very end? Well, they have to, because it's going to be done. There's only two episodes left, and they touched on it at the end of this episode where he made where Lowell said, oh, he's going to check out this other store because he wants to visit as many stores as he can because he heard, you know, because Zephyr's planning on closing all the Cloud 9 stores.
Right.
So, we got two episodes left, both airing this week. One called Perfect Store, the other one's called All Sales Final.
Are they airing at the same time, or is it 2 weeks in between?
No, they just say March 25th on both of them.
Okay.
So. I'll finish this out because I am.
Yeah.
The season started out good and it just kind of got petered out. And it was just one of those, like, I'm just going to finish it. I'm going to stick with it. So.
Yep. I same way. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that it was going away forever, I probably would have stopped by now.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So, let's see here. We didn't have... Well, the other half-hour show we watched was The Unicorn. One's called Out in the Air. Put Your Mask On First.
Yes. Yeah, so now we're done with that for this season.
Yeah, I did not understand why it was called Put Your Mask On First.
Until you heard them say that line?
No. Even then, it didn't make sense. When did they say the line? I don't remember them saying the line.
Forrest and what's his name there? I can't remember. The other friend there were talking to him.
Ben.
Ben, thank you. And Ben was telling him, he's like, you know, you've been doing so much for your daughters and for everybody else. And you've even been like holding off because you wanted to get back together with Shannon. You know, you've been putting everybody else's needs first. You need to put your own needs first. You need to actually take care of yourself. He's like, it's like when you're on the airplane and they say, put your own mask on before you help others around you. Wade, you got to put your own mask on first.
Okay.
Which is, I find that kind of funny because And maybe this is an alternate reality type of thing, but I remember 2 weeks ago we were talking about the unicorn, and I said that the last episode was called Put Your Own Mask On. And I was like, maybe they're finally going to address COVID. And you were like, no, it probably has to do with an airplane and, you know, put your own mask on before you put your kids on.
Oh, and it kind of did, I guess.
Yep. I was like, you got it. You nailed it.
Yep. Okay. Look at that. I did. Put your mask. So basically, they're going to the opening of the hotel that Ben and Wade have been working on.
Well, remember we had two episodes
most of the season. What was that with the old?
Crap. Now that you said that, now I gotta look it up.
That's how good it was. We don't even remember what it was about.
Well, I watched them right back to back with each other. So
I did too. And the thing I'm remembering the most is
the last part.
The last episode. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm bringing it up now. Mm-mm. Out with the old. Wait for. Oh, this was the colonoscopy.
Oh, they all decided to do. All right. And, yeah. Ben's 42 and his dad died when he was 42, so he's afraid to get a colonoscopy. And yeah. Wade for Ben decided to have their colonoscopies at the same time.
So they have a guy's night where they chug laxatives and shit all night.
Yes.
Open up about their feelings. And then over on the other end, you had Michelle and Delia.
Megs. Her sister Megs.
Yeah. Which, that woman is messed up.
No, oh, that pissed me off. She annoyed
me. He's always
as well.
In and out of court. You're always in and out of court. I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer.
And what about that money you took from her? Yeah, I invested that for her. She's like,
I put it in a 401k.
Yeah. She's.
Oh yeah, you went to Yale. That's a really good school, actually. Like,
yeah.
Drunk Delia trying to break up, get revenge for younger Delia. So.
Not that I need to see it, but I kind of want to see Michelle be wrong because, like, every episode, she is always right. And, yeah. I mean, we kind of saw it when she thought that guy in class wasn't hitting on her and he actually was hitting on her.
But, yes.
You know, like, when you look at the escape room and when you look at this episode where she was like, I know Megs is an idiot, you know. And then in the last episode when she was trying to tell Ben how to run his business, and he's like, look, I need to be the king of my business. And then in the end he's like, honey, can you help me?
Yeah, well, because she seems to know more about it than he does right now, so
because he's been doing it for so many years, but he's been doing it for so many years, so
right,
he hasn't updated himself.
Exactly. It's like after you took your resume making class a few years ago in college.
Yep.
Or, I mean, I was like, hey, I clearly don't know how to make a resume anymore because this class just told me everything I knew was wrong.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, because until your advice, last time I had made a resume was in high school, for crying out loud. And guess what? It's changed a lot in the last
25
years. Yeah.
Like, so. For starters, who knew that you had to put it in Comic Sans?
What? Really?
No.
I was joking.
Okay. That's like Weird Al has a whole song that deals with that.
Yeah. So that was a good episode. Out with the old. Put on your mask on first. Wade accidentally gets a text from Shannon that basically it reads to him that she's going to be dating again. And so he was kind of holding on. Like, the big thing was he hadn't changed the picture of the two of them off the wallpaper of his phone or lock screen of his phone. So when he gets a text that she's going out on a date, he's fine. So he kind of decides to go out and he becomes a little bit of a womanizer for the episode. And he meets a girl and they used to go to the Widows Club together and they end up having the sex. And turns out she's engaged to his boss or the guy he's working for at the hotel.
Who was setting up both him and Ben with very lucrative jobs.
Yes, this golf course he's going to be building. And so when Wade finds out, because he didn't realize that she was engaged, she didn't tell him. So she decides to confess to her fiancé in front of Wade and everybody. So he punches Wade.
I love that, by the way, you know, because Wade was just like, no, this doesn't have to be said now. She's like, no, I think this needs to be said. Nope, it doesn't. If not now, when? Tomorrow. Tomorrow would be a great time to say this. Yes.
Anytime,
but right now, basically.
Yeah. And then I like when the guy punches Wade and Ben runs over and doesn't check on Wade. He just punches the guy in the face as hard as you know what I mean? Because he hit my friend. I'm going to hit him now. Doesn't know what happened. Doesn't know if Wade's wrong. He's just, you know, coming. He's just sticking up for his friend.
Yep.
And I enjoyed that. It reminded me of an old episode of Married with Children where Kelly's boyfriend says he's sick and he can't go out with her that night. And so she ends up going to the movies with Al and Bud and Peggy on a rare night when they're going to go to the movies. And when they show up, her boyfriend's there making out with another girl. Mm-hmm. And so Kelly tells him off. And then she goes and sits down and goes, Daddy, beat him up. He goes, yes, pumpkin. And he just stands up and walks over and starts punching the guy in the face.
Yep.
So
it was awesome.
And then, so he gets, so Wade ends up, the girl wants to leave with Wade, and he's like, no, I didn't want to be in a relationship. We just had sex. It's not my fault you broke that, you know, you were engaged and decided to break up with your fiance over it. And then the bartender gives him his number, because they had previously before, and he never called her, because he wasn't ready then, and now he says he is. So it was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he got a text from Shannon at the end basically saying, I thought I was ready to date, but I'm not. So Wade doesn't know what he wants to do right now. So remember I had messaged you about this episode and I said, hey, what happened? Like right after Ben punches out their boss or their lawyer, and then he goes, all right, we got to go. And they all get up and they leave and it cuts to commercial break.
Yeah.
Well, on the CBS app, it rolled the end credits then.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's pretty abrupt. And then I'm like, that can't be it. So I go back and check, and it rolled the end credits again. And then I'm looking at it. I'm like, there's still over 4 minutes left in the episode. So I actually had to go past that commercial break on the dial on the bottom of the screen a little bit. Mm. And then it finally ran through and finished and then rolled the credits at the end. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So it was a little screwy. What did you think of the episode?
I loved it. Although it felt like a reboot, because basically, you know, in the end.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
He was like, no, I get to be out and I get to be on my own. And like he walked away from both of the women that wanted him. And he's like, you know, I am awesome and I am the unicorn. And then he gets that text from Shannon that said, you know, I thought I was ready, but I'm not. And he's like, oh, and he jumps in the car with his friends and drives off, you know, almost like an 80s rom-com type of thing. So, yeah, it felt like you had said that like last week or the week before, where you were basically like, he has to be the unicorn. Otherwise, the show doesn't work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it felt like this was a bit of a reboot for that. So, kudos to them.
Was the rookie on last week?
No.
Okay, because it's telling me here that there was an episode on, but I know there wasn't.
Nope, I didn't see it.
It's not until next week.
It was not on my Hulu, and it was not on my DVR, so yeah.
All right, I didn't think so, because I know I didn't watch it, so.
Yeah, I just went on IMDb, and it says Season 3 returns Sunday, March 28th.
So, what did you think of This Is Us?
my one note from this to remind myself was, this is money. That's what this episode was.
Yes, this episode was all about money issues. We got to see the montage of Jack dealing with the triplets.
Yeah, it's got to be a montage.
Yeah, we got Toby and Kate dealing with their newborn, and we got the others dealing with the twins.
Toby, I get it, buddy, but like he was letting the stress of not having a job and trying to get a job, he was letting that bleed over. And I get it. He's had issues. We've all seen the issues before where basically, you know, the Pearsons have their own thing and they think they're better than everybody else. And so he was probably feeding on that a little bit. But at the same time, dude, like, this is for your children. You need to back off and let Kevin do this if he wants to.
Yeah.
If you're really all about helping your kids out, then take this for now.
Well, that's the thing is Kevin, you know, and Kevin's just like, because to Kevin, it's like, we're all a big family. And Toby's like, no, this is my family and that's your family. And no, I don't agree with that, Toby, either. Like, right. You know, if your family, family's family, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
and Ohana means family.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an okay episode. It didn't do whole lot for me. Like, we haven't had an episode in almost a month, and it was just okay to me.
I'm glad that they kind of acknowledge that people have financial troubles in here, you know, because pretty much it's been a perfect world up until then. But, you know, and I get Toby's frustration. Like, he wanted the job. He wanted to work. He wants the money. He needs the money for his family, you know, and Kate's like, oh, maybe I could go to work. But it was so passive for one. And for two, like he said, he's like, no, that is not enough money. You going to work part time somewhere is not going to bring in the bills. Plus, then if I get a job so that we can have money for bills, we're going to have to pay for childcare. And, you know, Kevin riding in and being like, oh, bring them over here. We'll have childcare with our super nanny. And Toby's just like, I don't want to deal with this right now. He should have just excused himself and.
Oh, no. Like, if someone said to me, oh, hey, instead of paying $200-something a week for childcare for your two kids, especially one of your special needs kids, bring them over here. I'll take care of it. I'd be like, thank you, brother-in-law.
Right? Yeah. And
thank you for helping check in with
them on a weekly basis to make sure that it wasn't too much of an imposition or that, you know, everything was still going good. But yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what I would do. So,
yeah, otherwise it was an episode.
Zoe wasn't on. The rookie wasn't on.
I think Zoe's back this week, like the rookie.
Probably. New Amsterdam. That's a show that's on TV that I don't know how much more I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, this was a typical episode for them. You know,
it's not that it's bad.
It's just generic.
Yes.
Episodes like this are very generic.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Iggy who he realizes that he has to have face-to-face contact with his patients. But for him, that means singling out one of them so that we can just focus on her for this episode. And she's immunocompromised and her parents are hyper-vigilant, understandably so. It's a fucking pandemic.
Yep.
And, you know, I get, though, her frustration because she's like, you know, they don't want me to get the vaccine because it could cause problems. Well, you know, there has to be some give and take, but they were just shutting everything down. But again, pandemic, child with immunocompromised system, like, must be hell for them.
Yeah, I bet it is.
And this episode was also the way that they wrote Reynolds back into New Amsterdam.
Yep, brought him back.
I don't know if he was like off doing something else, like a movie or something like that, or if he was like, nah, I don't need this. And then he was like, yeah, okay, I kind of want to come back. But yeah, he's back in New York now, possibly not with his loving, caring girlfriend who flew out here to be with him.
No, it totally looked like that they broke up.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, I came here to be with you. And then she's like, you're staying in New York.
You and are home.
Yeah, and I'm not. Because Mama, you know, Mama's got her diabetes.
She's
and she needs some help. And then what else? Oh, the Uber driver. I'm wondering if she's going to become a series regular.
Well, of course she is.
Yeah.
This was almost absurd. So she's an Uber driver, obviously, or Lyft or whatever program it is that she's.
Yeah, they made up some name
for. Yeah, exactly. And essentially she brings in somebody and she makes a half-handed comment. Oh, I think she has a fracture of the metacarpal, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the drug addict doctor, ER doctor, is very dismissive, as you know she would be.
Yep.
And then she has to come back because, oh, I found your wallet in my car. And then there's a code and everyone runs off. And then this girl stops breathing because her lungs collapse. and no one's around. She's yelling for help. No one's around. So she grabs a big, needle and drives it into her chest to expand her lungs again. And, we find out she was a doctor in Pakistan. She was a children's attending on a children's ward or something like that, pediatric attending.
Yep.
So, she'll have a job there at some point, but.
Because she's homeless now. She's living in a car and using it as a source of income.
Yeah.
And so she gets to have a shower in their locker room. But, she'll be unemployed.
Yeah. Yeah, Bloom, I feel guilty. What can I do? I can find you a shelter. And Emilia's like, I don't want your fucking shelter, which I don't blame her.
Right.
What about a hotel? No, I'm not saying a hotel. Well, what can I do for you? And then use a hot shower. Well, here. Oh, you can use a nice shower. Well, here, our showers are either freezing cold or blazing hot. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Shower.
And then we also had the PSA where basically the finance person was like, we're not making enough money. We need people to come back to the hospital. And Max is like, no, I don't want people to come back to the hospital. It's still dangerous. She's like, well, we need bodies in here to make money. And he's like, I don't care. So he's supposed to do a commercial and he's like, I can't lie. I can't do it. So they get the, what's
Dr.
her name?
Helen.
Dr. Helen to do it. And she's like, I'll do it. But then it's because that one cancer patient that she was seeing that Max made friends with as well, she didn't come in for her treatments because of COVID and now she's dying.
Oh no, she's dead.
Yeah.
She is brain dead.
She was dying when Dr. Helen was
going
to do the PSA and then, she went all brain dead. And so, she's gone and they feel haunted by that.
So Dr. Helen had a big meltdown, as they're calling it, where she's just basically like, we're not safe. How can we feel safe? I can't guarantee you that we can feel safe. However, we need to start trying to live our lives. And, people can't be afraid to come in and get treatment when they need treatment because blah, blah, blah. So, and again, she basically was also telling Max, hey, you need to bring your kid home and stop being afraid that she might get sick because that's what you're doing right now. So, which is kind of how we all need to really be, I guess, is take precautions, be safe, live our life.
Right.
But don't don't be a fucking idiot who flies down to Tampa, Florida on spring break and,
Or like the other night, like I said, I was out with my girlfriend and we stopped to pick up food because what we do is we get takeout and we'll go sit in a vehicle, park on a riverfront or something like that and eat there. Rather than go into a restaurant. But every time I've done that recently, the restaurants are packed. People are in there eating like everything's normal.
I haven't seen that. But the only place I've gotten takeout recently was like Angeli's Pizza and there's Angeli's gas station to get pizza where they don't have tables to sit down at.
Angeli's is great. I haven't had that in a while.
Neither had we. We got it the other night. It was pretty damn amazing.
Yeah. They have the best fresh dough pizzas.
I don't think people from other states realize, in Maine, the best pizza is not at, a pizza shop, but, at a convenience store gas station. Not pretty much, Irving. Yeah. Local. My mom and pop one.
Yeah. It's frigging great. They have the best fresh dough I've ever tasted. It's amazing. That pizza comes out of the oven and I could just suck on that dough. It's amazing. Oh.
Yeah, Ainsley's is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Resident Alien.
Resident Alien.
So this episode, we're dealing where we left off, where they're on the iceberg and the glacier and they fell down the crevasse. And Astra
and, then they
and Harry... Further. Fell further into the crevasse.
Yep.
And Harry gets injured and he's starting to bleed out from an 8-leg injury, so he can't keep his human phase looking. So he's starting to slowly turn back to an alien.
Yeah.
Astra's very freaked out at first, but then eventually she's sucks it up and she's like, okay, well, let's do this. And she, cauterizes the wound on his leg with a flare, and then they manage to rescue themselves because their other friend, I can't think of her name, but she manages to climb out of the thing with the Darcy. Gear. And then Darcy, she's a rescuer. So she had a snowmobile, and she had the harness and the gear and everything. And from one of the snowmobiles that had fallen into the crevasse with him. So she was able to climb out of the gorge and then use the snowmobile that was up on top to pull both of them out and then, you know, flee. And then Astra makes her run inside to the hospital to get help, and she drives away and goes to her dad's restaurant, and her dad's like, why is there an alien in my restaurant? So now Astra knows that he's an alien.
Yes, I was going to say, we've got two people that know that he's an alien. And to what end that is going to be, we'll have to find out in the next episode. But basically, Asta and her dad know.
And the government agents are there, mm-hmm. and they see the wanted poster signs that the kid had made up, that Max had made up.
So they're going to go after him, of course.
And Harry has his device so we can blow up the Earth, which he plans on doing tomorrow, because today, you know, he's happy that Astra saved him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I liked how Astra's like, well, the fact that you're an alien really explains a lot.
Yeah.
And then her dad,
but he still lied to her.
Yes. And then her dad was like, and you wanted me to get a checkup by him.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's typical for her dad, you know, got to use the hammer, the humor.
Mm-hmm.
But the he still lied to her, because she was like, what happened to the guy who, you know, the real Dr. Vanderspiegel? And he's like, oh, he left town and, you know, the place was abandoned when I got there. So
yes,
she's like, well, how did you know to mimic him? He's like, oh, skin cells. Humans leave them everywhere.
Well, how did your wife not know it was you? I don't know.
Yeah.
Thing. So, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that convincing of a story, but
no,
it still worked.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the time, they're kind of down there. He's just, yeah. She's like, I'm going to believe anything at this point.
Yep. So one episode left, I think, this week, and that'll sadly be done. Yeah. I hope it gets renewed for a second season.
I do. I think it has. Hold on.
Oh, good.
I think I just saw that the other day.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Season 2, I'm pretty sure. Yep. 2 days ago, Resident Alien gets season 2 renewal at Sci-Fi.
Resident Evil. Okay. Did you watch Debris?
I watched Debris.
What did you think of Debris?
I liked Debris.
What did you like about it?
I like the show a lot. I did cringe a little bit at this one, just because, like, they got everybody out in the end.
Yeah, they Mary Sued the ending a little bit, but I enjoyed the episode as well. It really has so that kind of nice sci-fi X-Files vibe that you want to it, where you have the overarching mythology of what's going on with her dad, George Jones.
Yep.
And yet we still get our Monster of the Week episode this week, where we get some sort of strange, like, it's basically almost like a portal that puts people in some sort of dimension, but they don't go to like an alternate universe. They're kind of like, and they think it's been like a few days for them, or a few hours, when it's been years. Like, the main girl that went missing that we're dealing with has been missing for a couple of years. But like you said, when they rescued everybody, some people like disappeared in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And to them, it hadn't been that long.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting, trying to reintroduce all of those people to society.
Yep.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm thoroughly enjoying this show in general. Like, yes. I thought when we first saw the previews for Debris, it was going to be like, eh, this will be okay. Eh, this will be kind of fun. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a single plot line running through, like a Lost type thing. But yeah. I've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I really would give the show a hard sell to people that like, you know, sci-fi, supernatural type things. Because, yes, we're dealing with the CIA and we're dealing with MI6 and everything, but we're really not. It's not the standard, stereotypical type stuff. you know, we find out that George Jones, Fiona did like say goodbye to his body in the morgue, and she even took his watch. However, we determined that there's 24 minutes of footage missing, and when they're putting his body in the freezer, the watch is back on his wrist. So someone swapped out bodies. That's how possibly the real George Jones is still alive. Mm-hmm. And when they exhume the body, they find that it's not his body in there.
Right. Dun, dun, dun.
So I don't know. I liked it a lot. They found a piece of the portal nearby where this portal was. And they took that by putting a piece of the debris into the portal. It actually opened the portal up enough to let the people escape that were trapped inside. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not doing it justice, but I really think people should just go watch it. I think it's that good of a show. It's well worth your time to go watch it.
I liked the guy who, the techie guy who was with him, who was basically fleshed out more than just the typical background techie people. You know, he was like, I've been studying these things. I need to know what's going on. This is the closest we've come to, you know, dimensional travel. This is like everything that we need to advance our species. And they're like, no, we got to get these people out. And he's like, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'll do it.
Yeah, he's like, fine, I'll save the people instead of, you know, coming up with this new outstanding technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what else did we watch? We watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but we'll talk about that at the very end.
I was just looking at my list here. We watched some Staged.
I watched the first two episodes, yes, because you watched the first two episodes.
Yeah, because I put it on there, and it was like the first episode was basically a documentary. Like, it was almost like a vlog.
Yeah. Well, no, it was a TV show, but they're using Zoom to film the show because, you know, they because they can't have guests in the audience in house in the studio, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. And it was the two guys, it was Michael and David, and then one of the guys from Monty Python who was shitting all over them like crazy.
Oh my God, it was great watching him shit on them.
Yeah. But basically, Simon and the company, they're doing a second season of Staged for Staged America that's supposed to take place in L.A. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the first two episodes, we find out that everybody but Michael and Dave are going to be coming back to the show.
Right.
And they want, what'd they get? Well, they get Colin Firth and Hugh Grant to replace them because they're more known in the American market.
They're more convincing as English as Americans. Yeah.
It was very insulting is what it comes down to.
So insulting. I loved it.
But it was really good couple episodes. I would give it a hard sell.
Oh, yeah. It was all I had in me to not just like blast through and watch everything, but
yeah, I almost just wanted to watch all the episodes as well and just get it done, but just because I was enjoying it so thoroughly.
Speaking of which, I am almost done with the third season of Paradise PD. That show, it has a couple of funny moments. Like I had one today where I laughed out loud, and I think you would have laughed out loud as well. Mm-hmm. Where the Dusty, the very, very corpulously overweight guy, had decided that he was going to use drone technology to help him hit his step target, which is zero steps per day. So he hooked up these drones under his arms to carry him around. And then somebody hacked them and it slammed him into the roof or into the ceiling. And like it crushed his head down into his torso a little bit. And he goes, I look like fucking Ram Man. And it just, the way that he said it and the look on his face, it made me laugh right out loud. Cause I was like, oh my God, he does look like Ram Man.
Nice.
But yeah, other than that, the show is remarkably crude, and this season it really rips on itself. It rips on itself. It rips on Netflix. It rips on other shows like it. I mean, it is a very self-aware show that is breaking the fourth wall over and over again.
Cool.
So
I'm gonna check it out for a good laugh.
Yeah, it's got a few good laughs in there, but don't sit down and expect it to be like phenomenal.
All right. I won't. Well, I guess, did you watch any movies?
I watched three movies.
All right. I watched four.
Mike, name those movies.
I watched The Last Blockbuster.
I watched that as well.
Watched on Netflix. Awesome documentary about that last Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon. Obviously, when they started filming, there was more Blockbusters, but by the time they finished filming, there was just the one. The three in Alaska had closed. Even though I never worked at Blockbuster or even rented from a Blockbuster for that matter, you know, we worked at Movie Gallery. And so there was some nostalgia in there that I understand and I really missed. And I never thought about it until they had the big montage of them opening and closing the VHS cassette case. Yeah. I was like, oh, I remember all of that.
I know. I was having some flashbacks to working in Movie Gallery.
Yeah. I mean, we had a Blockbuster in Maine. There was one in Lewiston. I went into the store a couple of times, looked at their sell-through. I never rented there because it was in Lewiston, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, you're not going to drive that back there.
Right, exactly.
I did what's like another movie? Little oh, things like the countdown on the screen, you know, where it was like this many stores left and this many stores left.
Oh, yeah. No, the documentary is very, very well done.
Yep, I enjoyed it. I watched another one. It was on HBO Max because I was kind of curious about it. And it was called Persona, The Dark Truth Behind Personality Tests. And it wasn't personality tests as in like every personality test out there. This wasn't about like the Facebook, you know, which Hogwarts character are you? This was about the Myers-Briggs and now I'm blanking. Yep. But the one that's I think it's like called the 12 types. So those are two big personality tests that have become so prolific that there are companies out there that will hire and fire based on them, that will promote based on them. And so they gave you some history of it. They told you where they came from, these different companies that have done things with them. There was one moment in there when I was just like, what the fuck? I suggest that you watch this. This is a good documentary. It's very interesting, very enlightening. And there was one kind of – it wasn't a twist, but it was kind of a kicker that just kind of threw me as I was watching it. Maybe it's just – you know, I was watching it half paying attention. I'd say three quarters paying attention and also playing a game. But there was something that just was very unexpected to me, and it kind of shook me a bit. So,
okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah. What's another movie you watched? Because I know that we both watched the last one together.
Well, we both watched the Snyder Cut.
Uh-huh.
And I watched the 2017 Justice League as well. Because I decided I was going to watch that after I watched the Snyder Cut. Not right after, but the next days. Right. So the fourth movie, I was getting there. Okay. I watched Promising Young Woman. I rented it from the old Redboxy. Dude, I did not see that.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I
tried not to like lean too heavy into it, but yeah. Like Julia and I were sitting there watching it and we're like, holy shit. That was unexpected.
Like, basically, from here on, is going to be spoiler central for the rest of the episode. Like,
everything. We're going to spoil Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We're going to spoil Snyder Cut, and we're going to spoil the hell out of this.
Yeah, and so I don't know if I don't have any trailers or news worth talking about this week.
I get some news, but it's all minor stuff. So yeah.
Okay. All right. So. Anyways, so basically I'm watching the movie. My thought, my take on the movie, it's a vigilante flick, right? That's my thought. Right? This is a woman. She goes out to bars to find men that take advantage of drunk women, and she teaches them a lesson.
Yes. Never Deadly, which I was surprised. I really thought from the previous killing them or destroying them or whatever.
No, but basically, like, as the guys are trying to, you know, take advantage of her, she all of a sudden is like, hey, what are you doing? And the guys get freaked out. Wait, you're not drunk? And she's like, no, I'm not drunk. And so she doesn't do anything to them other than basically makes them feel like the pieces of shit they are and calls them out for being pieces of shit. Okay? Well, she does this because her best friend got raped in college, and she went to the administration, and she went to – and she – you know, press charges, and her best friend was basically no one believed her, and her best friend, I would assume, ended up killing herself because she's dead. Right?
Yes.
So this woman has done this her life trying to, and she doesn't let herself get close to anyone. She doesn't date anyone. She ends up meeting a guy that she went to med school with. Like they met back up at the coffee shop she was working at. They actually go on a few dates. She seems like a nice guy, so she's going to take the chance. Then she basically decides that she's going to delete her social media and she's going to ignore everything and everyone and just move on with her life. Mm-hmm. And then this girl that they had gone to college together, she basically gets her drunk and then pays a guy to just kind of look after her and make this girl think that they had sex when in fact they didn't. Well, she basically supplies her with a videotape, or not videotape, but a video on a phone, if you will, of her friend being raped by all of these guys because someone filmed it. And her boyfriend, Ryan, was there. So now Ryan's a piece of shit to her. So she decides she's going to go to the bachelor party of the guy that raped her to get her revenge.
Well, you missed one.
Oh, I'm being vague, but go ahead.
I was going to say the administrator of the school, she goes back to her.
Oh, yeah.
She basically alludes – again, she never physically harms anybody, but she makes it seem that way. So in this case, she picked up this girl from outside of a high school and gave her a ride somewhere. And it was the administrator's daughter and basically tells her, yeah, I dropped her off with a bunch of drunk college guys and they're going to have their way with your sweet little 16-year-old girl because, you know, boys will be boys and blah, blah, blah. And freaks her right the hell out. And then she's like, oh, I never did that. She's here. You know, look.
She's at this diner. I wouldn't do that. I'm not a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, basically, while she's kind of confronting this guy, and I guess her plan is she's going to carve her friend's name into his chest. Mm-hmm. Before she can do that, he manages to get one of the handcuffs free, and he smothers her to death with a pillow. Like,
You kept waiting for her to be faking, didn't you?
I kept waiting for her to be faking, for him or her to escape or something. No. He murders her. Technically, though, it is self-defense. Like, realistically, it's, you know, he was afraid for his life. She had a knife.
Yeah.
But instead of calling the police, you know, they burn her body.
Yep. Because, you know, that's the rational thing to do.
And then there's another big twist at the end where she had, like, basically, in the event of my disappearance, release this information to the police. And here's the videotape, and here's my text messages. I've set on a timer to go out at a certain time. So she basically assumed she was gonna die. Like it was like I just didn't see the ending coming. I actually thought she was gonna be killing people when she didn't. I didn't see her getting killed. Like
and then screwing everybody over as a result.
Yes. Like, it was nice in the way that it wasn't predictable.
Yep.
But at the same time, shocking that it wasn't predictable.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, she essentially, for all intents and purposes, she sacrificed herself. She knew that she had a good feeling that she was going in here to die.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
So. Woof. Yeah, that was phew.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Episode 1 is called New World Order. It takes place timeline-wise 6 months after the blip. Whereas WandaVision was a couple months after the blip, this is 6 months after the blip. And Sam, I mean, this opening sequence with Sam, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
He's working with the Air Force. He's in Tunisia. He's going to try to stop Batroc.
Batroc the Leaper.
They've hijacked an Air Force plane to take a hostage for some reason. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell us why they were taking this guy hostage, why they wanted him so bad. But we get this amazing aerial scene that you just have to go watch this for yourself. And if you've already seen it, then you know what we're talking about. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, it was amazing. It was beyond amazing is what it was. The fight scenes, the, you know, we have the skydivers that are in the glider suits, and then, you know, of course, Falcon's Falcon, and there's helicopters involved, and there's a lot of people getting killed, and it was awesome. Just plain and simple, it was awesome.
It was an 80s action movie opening.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But done really well. Really, yeah. Really well. we meet First Lieutenant Joaquin Torres,
mm-hmm.
kind of Wilson's ground man, and he's also doing some infiltration over there in Tunisia, trying to find information from about this terrorist group that's called Flag Smashers.
Has a comic book history as the human version of Red Wing.
Okay.
He got banged up pretty bad, and Red Wing's technology was put into him, so he was kind of like a cyborg hybrid kind of thing.
Okay. The Flag Smashers are people that believe that life was better during the blip because there's less people.
And you know what? I honestly believe that there would be, like, that is a very realistic group that would exist.
Yes. Yep. There's two parallel stories. We get Falcon's story, we got Winter Soldier's story, and the two do not intertwine with each other at all in this episode.
Other than to briefly mention the other one.
Right. So to continue talking about just Falcon's story, he's back in the United States. He's in Louisiana with his family's fishing business. Of course, they're struggling. So he wants to try to save the business. His sister's like, I'm ready to sell. This boat's falling apart. You've been gone 5 years. Wasn't my fault. I know it wasn't your fault, but it's been a tough 5 years and I'm done. And he's like, well, I'm not. So they go to the bank together, and the bank guy's like just enamored that he's Falcon and he wants a picture taken with him. And oh, it's so great. It's so great. But you don't have any income for the last 5 years. And don't they pay you as Avengers? And, you know, like, they can't get their loan, and their sister's basically done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that story. We also have earlier, before he goes to meet up with his sister, we have him turning the shield over to the Smithsonian for display.
Yep. Because he basically says there was one Captain America, and I am not going to be Captain America. He should be remembered as Captain America. And so, that's it.
And we see Brody, Don Cheadle, and he's just like, why didn't you ever pick up the mantle? He's like, you know, he brought it to you, and he's like, because there's only one Captain, like you just said, there's only one Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
This segues to Bucky. And Bucky is basically, he's been pardoned. He's going through ordered therapy. He has to make amends. So he has three rules he has to follow by with making his amends. He can't hurt anyone, right?
Yep.
So basically, he's trying to get anyone that he helped put into power through his work with Hydra. He is he's trying to get them arrested. Mm-hmm. So he sets them up and gets evidence on them. He then confronts them and says, I'm no longer the Winter Soldier. I'm a civilian. I'm sorry for what I did, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he's doing a 12-step program, which is hilarious. And he can't kill anybody. He's having nightmares, and we see him as Winter Soldier doing a mission where he kills a bunch of people in a hotel, including this kid trying to get into his hotel room. Who we find out later on is the father the son of this elderly man that Bucky has befriended because he needs to apologize and make amends to him, and he can't bring himself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because his father's basically like, the police tell me that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I know it's more than that. And in reality, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Any place that he was in the path of the Winter Soldier would be the wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. Torres infiltrates the Flag Smashers briefly as they run this op, and he gets beat up by who I'm going to say is Vega from Street Fighter.
Well, they did one of those, tactical things where everybody crowded the street wearing the same mask. Yep. And then one bag of money was thrown down and one guy walked off with it while everybody else kind of created a distraction and scattered the forces, etc.
Yeah. And the one big guy that came out with a duffel bag, so then dumped him off to somebody else, that's who Torres follows and tries to arrest. And to me, it looks like he has Vega's mask on. He's got the ponytail. That's why I said Vega from Street Fighter. First thing I thought of. Who is that, do you think?
I think that it's a hybridized character.
Okay.
It'll probably be either the leader of the Flag Smashers or just like a lieutenant, but he was super strong, whoever he was.
Yes, he had some super strength going on. And then the end of the episode, we get that the U.S. government announces they need a new face, a new hero, a new Captain America. And out walks Captain America with the shield and the costume and everything. It's John Walker. And I don't know if it was the angle of the camera or what it was, but it was not pleasant to look at. It was just not pleasant to look at.
I've seen so many memes over this past weekend making fun of this poor guy. I felt bad. You know, they got like Russell. Chris Evans as Captain America, and it's like, what you ordered? And then they got this guy, and they're like, what arrived? And name brand, Walmart brand.
I mean, it's Kurt Russell's son and Goldie Hawn technically as well. It's Wyatt Russell. Yeah. He's got a good pedigree of parents in him when it comes to acting. Mm-hmm. No,
it looked terrible.
But now that they've officially revealed that John Walker is Captain America, in Marvel Cinematic Universe, I wonder if it's going to go the comic book route where he's going to go crazy, and that's why Steve Rogers goes back.
Right. Are they also going to have him be like in the comics? He was way stronger than Cap. Like, he had superhuman strength.
Yeah.
This guy didn't look that big. Are they still going to have him with that superhuman strength? How good is he going to be with the shield? Is he going to have to practice with it for a while? Are we going to get some pretty stupid, antics with it?
Yeah. I'm curious.
Is he eventually going to just be U.S. agent again?
Well, he became U.S. agent.
Afterwards.
Didn't he? Yeah, afterwards. Yeah. Yeah, he became Captain America. Went
a little cuckoo.
Oh, no, he came in as Super Patriot. Then he became Captain America, and then he became U.S. agent. Sorry. Yes. But I'm curious if he's going to go crazy.
Right.
Like he did in the comics. And then Steve Rogers came back to be Captain America again, and then he became U.S. agent eventually. So.
But he tried to lure.
We'll see. Yes. Yep. I loved it. I thought the whole episode was really good. I thought it had a completely different vibe and feel to it than WandaVision did.
Yes.
I felt like more like a movie.
Yep. And remember, too, one of the things with this is that they basically have to take two secondary characters who have had a lot of screen time, but they're not main characters. Neither one of them has ever headlined a movie. They were not first draft picks. Like, these are not leading men, and they had to make them leading men for this. They had to establish that yes, this is going to be their stories. But
realistically, Marvel, when the MCU launched with Iron Man, they launched with Iron Man because all their other quote unquote big characters that they viewed as big characters were licensed out elsewhere, so they didn't have much option to go with.
Right.
But obviously, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Guardians, everything they've done has worked. So I'm sure this will work as well. In the end, I loved WandaVision.
About that little Edward Norton Hulk thing.
Well, of course. and Eric Bana.
Yeah, but that wasn't even Marvel. Like, Edward Norton was.
Oh, yes.
It came out after Iron Man, and it had the PS.
That's true. Yeah. But yeah, I love it. I can't wait for next week. I'm glad it comes out once a week. I'm glad they don't post them all at once. This Friday, I'll be able to watch it straight away. But the Friday after that, I'm going to have to wait till I get home from work.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stay off the internet all day. That's all.
Yeah. So before we get into the Snyder Cut, I had no trailers this week. I got a few pieces of news. The fourth season of Killing Eve is coming up here.
Oh, it is.
And this will be the final season, but okay. They're talking about the possibility of having some spinoffs with some of the different characters. Don't know if I really care for that, but okay. Venom, Let There Be Carnage has been pushed back to September.
Okay.
I'm not surprised by this anymore. A buddy of mine was like, hey, did you see that they just pushed back the Gotham Knights video game to 2022? I'm like, yeah. Honestly, I would be shocked if a movie, TV show, or video game came out when it was supposed to these days.
Yep. Like,
everything is pushed back to the point where now that's just the standard.
Yeah.
Okay. This is actually a two-part news thing because two different pieces of news came out about it, and I was very excited. So the next Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that's coming out will be a direct sequel to the classic 1974 original. Producer Fed Alvarez has confirmed that the film, which is expected later this year, will feature an older version of iconic chainsaw-wielding villain Leatherface. So they're doing this as Old Man Leatherface, direct sequel to the original. Second part of that is that they are bringing back Sally, the only survivor from the original film.
Cool.
But the original Sally actress, Marilyn Burns, died in 2014, so the role had to be recast, and it was with the Mandy actress, Alwyn Fuhr, taking on the role. But it's still going to be the character of Sally, the final girl from the first movie.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see in my notes here, Resident Alien is getting ready for season two. So, yep. May 1st, HBO Max will have Tenet.
Okay. Have you watched it yet? I can't remember.
I have not.
I Redboxed it. It's well worth your time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. this one I thought of you when I read it. The headline was, Justified team to develop Elmore Leonard novel for FX. Timothy Oliphant rumored to return. So,
which novel?
Elmore Leonard did the Justified novel.
Yeah. Oh, I'm familiar, but what's the other novel?
It says, Variety reports that the series would be based on the book Primeval High Noon in Detroit. The show is reportedly in early development. No deal has been reached with Oliphant. The character Raylan Givens is not the main star of the book and doesn't appear to be in the book at all. However, City Primeval's author Elmer Leonard created the Raylan Givens character for other stories before the character appeared on Justified.
Okay.
So that could be interesting.
I'll watch him.
And this one, I honestly couldn't believe this. I had to read it twice to make sure that I was understanding it. Ace Ventura 3 is in development at Amazon Prime Video.
Oh, they fucking coming to America, seriously.
That big update about Jim Carrey's classic Ace Ventura Pet Detective franchise actually came in the unlikely form of a retrospective about Morgan Creek Entertainment, the film production company that launched films like Ace Ventura, Major League, True Romance, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, The Last of the Mohicans, and other 90s cult classics. In an interview about what was next for the studio, Morgan Creek's team let it be known that Ace Ventura 3 is in the works and Sonic the Hedgehog writers Pat Casey and Josh Miller are on board. We're pretty excited about our franchise developments with Exorcist and Ace Ventura franchise. During COVID, audiences have been in love and are thrilled to have beloved characters brought back with new stories. Ace Ventura will see a new day at Amazon as a major motion picture / theatrical with Sonic the Hedgehog writers.
All right. Well, it's I can't say it's something I never knew I wanted because it's something I still don't care about having.
Yeah. I have some faith because you've seen it. Sonic was damn good.
Sonic was damn good.
And Jim Carrey did a great job as Robotnik in it. So, I mean, maybe there could be something good come of this, but it still seems really weird to me.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That's it for news for me.
Well, I did have one bit of news, I guess.
Oh, what you got?
It's not anything huge. I shared it with you. Two things. One thing I shared with you, one I didn't. American Horror Story is coming back for another season, but it's going to be two different stories in the season instead of one story in the season.
Yes.
That's all they've said. And there was a double wave feature. Watching on the beach. Double feature is what it's called. And then it looks like they've recast Kate Kane for the Batwoman series.
Yes, I did see that.
And they didn't say why, if it's going to be a long-term thing, a short-term thing, just to explain why she's dead or why she's gone. But
well, she's injured from the plane crash, and they said she's not going to be Batwoman anymore because Batwoman is now this new girl.
Yes. But she could still be on the show. Like, you know, you had Oracle, if you were not Oracle. Oracle, when Batgirl was her broken back, was in the wheelchair, she was Oracle. So, I mean, I didn't know if we're going to see something like that type of thing.
Right.
So,
could be interesting.
Yeah.
That's all I got. How about you?
That's it for news and stuff. Just, essentially, Justice League now. Snyder Cut.
Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
All right, so did you watch it all in one fell swoop, or did you break it up?
No. Oh, no. I watched it as as intended.
Yep.
What about you?
Yeah, I sat down Thursday and I watched all 4 hours. As a whole, just what did you think?
Okay. As a whole, I actually enjoyed quite a bit of it. It was not Batman versus Superman.
Nope.
It was not the worst thing that I've ever seen. It was actually not bad.
So here was my big take. After watching it Thursday night, I was like, you know what? I'm surprised. I really like this movie. Like, I'm genuinely surprised how much I enjoyed it. But I wouldn't say, oh, I like it better than the 2017 version of Justice League. I like them both. They both have their faults. Like, at the time, when I had this thought with the Snyder Cut, I thought there was some time. Like, when the town folks start to sing before Thor disappears, and then they continue singing for, like, a really long time. And it's like, this seems like a...
I think you mean Aquaman, not Thor.
Oh, shit. Yes, Aquaman.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, is he talking about the same movie? And I was trying to remember.
Yes. And then there's a couple other moments in the movie where I think they could have cut this. This really isn't adding anything to the movie or anything to the story. But I did find I enjoyed the movie. Then the next day I watched the 2017 version, the 2 hour version. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that stood out to me is I felt like I was watching a chopped up version of the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like for instance, in the bank at the beginning where we see Wonder Woman, when we first see her again, and you have the domestic terrorists that come in the bank because they're going to blow the bank up and kill people just to make a statement. Yep. You know, do you remember the scene?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So in the 2017 version, this part of the movie, it is about 3 minutes long. That whole scene is about 3 minutes.
Yep.
In the Snyder version, it's over 7 minutes, mm-hmm. that same scene. And I liked the Snyder version better because it went into more detail and it actually was more impressive. It made Wonder Woman seem more impressive. Just like every scene where Steppenwolf, who, by the way, looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't notice it when I watched the Snyder Cut. I was like, oh yeah, there's Steppenwolf. I didn't realize just how much they changed his appearance Yes, it was until I watched the 2017 version. I was like, holy cow.
Tremendous difference. Yep.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, in the 2017 version, Steppenwolf is the big bad guy, and in this one, he's the Larky working for Lackey working for Master Darkseid, yeah, working for his master. And mm-hmm. There's a lot of killing in this one in the Snyder cut. It's rated R. There's they cut the camera and the I'm gonna call the Whedon version, if you will. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I actually found that Snyder's deeper dive into some of the mythos and backstory of things. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed when Steppenwolf went to get the mother boxes. And the Whedon version, if you – I hate saying Whedon version. In the 2017 cut of the film, he gets them rather quickly with little resistance compared to how much resistance we saw – in this one, I now, after watching the 2017 cut of the film, I actually like the Snyder version even more than I did after I got done watching it.
Makes sense.
Batman vs. Superman is still the worst fucking superhero movie ever made, by the way.
Yes. Yes, it was complete garbage.
Yeah. I will never change my opinion on that.
So I have a lot of notes, but one thing that I want to kind of take a moment to acknowledge here, based on what you were just saying, and it's absolutely true, but this is my thought on that. And this is not to discredit or pull any, this is not to say, oh, you shouldn't like it, it's a shitty movie. What this is it's my common sense approach to this. So most movies that are made these days start off like 4 hours long or some ungodly amount. And then they go into the editing room and they trim them down.
Yeah.
This was a rare occasion where basically Warner Brothers gave Zack Snyder the go ahead to do whatever he wanted. So he didn't have to cut anything out. Yeah. I'm sure that there are plenty of movies out there that if you saw the original cuts all fleshed out, like we've seen deleted scenes before where we're like, man, why didn't they keep this in? It would have made it so much better. And we've seen deleted scenes where it's like, wow, I'm glad they took that out.
Yep.
But I think that there are a lot of movies out there that would probably you'd feel the same way if you watched the original and then watched an extended cut that was like 2 hours longer and be like, wow, they really added a lot to this.
Oh, well, absolutely. But actually, as a retort to that one, Rob Zombie's Halloween, I like the theatrical version better than his unrated director's cut version.
Mm.
Because
fair point.
In his unrated director's cut version, one of the big scenes he added into it was the two guards at the site at the mental hospital raping the girl in Mike Myers' room, and that's why he escapes. That completely unnecessary. The version in the theater of him overcoming the guards and killing them is tremendously better, and again, much better than. And so by deleting kind of that story of him of this girl getting needlessly raped for no fucking reason whatsoever, and a couple other scenes. So I actually prefer the theatrical version better than the unrated director's cut. And that is a rare instance.
Right.
But I get what you're saying. I have one, Well, I also have an argument of he has had hindsight, if you will, to see the movie that was released, to hear what the people have hated about it. And so I question, is this Snyder cut, is this what we would have gotten if he would have finished the movie, or is this what we're getting because of hindsight?
Cherry pick.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was another one of my points is that, this movie has already been out and now he gets to say, but here's how I would have done it, which that's, you're right. It's hindsight, but it's beyond hindsight because it's like the most perfect version of it where he gets to say, oh, but boy, that really worked well, but I would have done it like this. And so, you can see as I looked at this movie, I did not see a lot of Batman versus Superman. No. I saw a lot of a different movie. And I feel like you're right. I feel like just as much as the 2017 version was a collaboration between him and Joss Whedon, I feel like this is him looking at that 2017 version and building on it rather than doing it from scratch.
Yeah. I'm not 100% convinced that what we got would have been what we would have gotten in 2017 if he would have finished the movie.
Correct. I agree completely. I think we would have got something much closer to Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Because as much as a lot of people say they love that movie, there's a lot of people out there that hate that fucking movie as well, like we do. Yep. And I think he's also had the chance to look at that because there was no humor in Batman versus Superman. There was none whatsoever. No. There was very little humor in the first Wonder Woman, if you will, which I love that movie. I have nothing bad to say about it. Correct. However, there's humor in this movie.
Yes, there is.
There's humor that was left in.
Quite a bit of humor, actually.
There was, you know, and again, after watching the Snyder, the 2017 cut, you can see a lot of the dumb humor that was added that they didn't put in this one or was cut from this one really didn't make a difference. But yeah, there was plenty of humor in this movie. You know, we got that whole extra scene with the Flash and him meeting Iris. I'm assuming that was Iris.
Yes,
you know,
that was Iris.
Yeah, we got. So the ending, the epilogue, if you will, the scene where Bruce wakes up in the post-apocalyptic, he has a dream of being in some sort of alternate future where Superman is now a bad guy. Because Lois is dead or whatever it is.
Which was the same future that the Cyborg was warned about when they went to bring him back.
Yes. This
the
was,
ship tried to warn him.
Yes. So this that whole storyline was where Zack Snyder was going to go with his sequels going forward, with his standalone Batman film and his Justice League and on and on. All that stuff that's been dropped. None of that's happening.
Correct.
That's the other thing that's very important for people to understand is like, just because we got the Snyder cut doesn't mean they're going to, we're going to get all the other movies he planned. No, those are done for. Batman is now already in another direction. Yes, we're still getting the Flash movie, but Cyborg isn't going to be in it. He's done with the studio. Ben Affleck is allegedly not playing Batman anymore, but then again, he is playing Batman in the upcoming Flash movie. Henry Cavill has said he's all done playing Superman. So yes, we got the Snyder cut, but the Snyder universe is done. We still have the DC universe.
Correct.
But the Snyder universe, for the most part, is done, over with.
Did you hear that in Snyder's universe, Clark's kid was going to have no powers and was going to grow up to be the next Batman?
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So that right there, once again, reinforces that Batman versus Superman was Snyder, and this was not as much Snyder.
I think so. The whole scene at the end with the post-apocalyptic future, whatever it was, Batman's dream.
Yep.
Okay.
You mean the nightmare?
Yeah, the nightmare. Yeah, yeah. That was completely unnecessary. That could be completely cut from this film. That was not needed to happen. Oh yes, we got a cool scene between Ben Affleck and Joker, and that's the whole reason why that was filmed, is because he wasn't going to be able to do any more Batman movies or Joker or anything else. So he never got a chance to have them on screen together, interact together. He wanted to interact. So Warner Brothers let him spend $25 million to film that scene where Batman could tell Joker that he was going to fucking kill him and enjoy it.
And earn that R rating. Because up until that point, I was like, why is this movie rated R?
Well, because there's a lot of killing and blood. And they did say fuck a couple other times earlier in the movie. Because you can say it once in a PG-13, but I'm going to go with, like, there was a lot of killing, and they had a lot of blood splatter going on during that killing.
Okay, I can get that. But here's another question for you. And I brought this up during Batman versus Superman last time. Why is Batman precognitive? Why is he having dreams of the future?
I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I really don't know.
Sorry, there's just some things that just Like, if you want Batman to be the star of your movie, that's fine. But don't give him new powers. No. You had Barry come back and give him a warning from the future. That's fine. You don't give him precognitive powers of this is what the future is going to be like.
Right.
It would have been fine if it had been a flash forward. But for him to wake up in bed, no.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying on that one. So I think we're both pleasantly surprised with the movie, is my big takeaway.
But here's where my caveats are going to come in.
All right, okay? Go for it.
Give me just 1 second here. I got to scroll down through my notes here and make sure that I get it right. Okay. So for starters, we get treated to, speaking of extended scenes, the opening scene of Superman dying, which was from the last movie, and his scream being heard around the world and waking up the mother boxes somehow, that was 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
That was 5 fucking minutes of him screaming and it being heard around the world. And again, for some reason, waking up one of the mother boxes.
Well, that was sort of described as in the mother boxes stayed silent and did not call for Steppenwolf because the Kryptonian was there to stop them.
Oh yeah, we'll get back to that.
Okay.
Trust me. That's another one on my list. So we have that. My very next note was, I already hate this 4-3 bullshit. So Zack Snyder is a pretentious cocksucker. Okay, we've already determined this. He has made glorious statements about how he knows comics better than anybody else, how he knows what's best for comic movies, how he understands Superman better than anybody. He's a pretentious cunt. Just plain and simple. So for me to get that message, the moment I turned on this movie that said, this movie is presented in 4-3 format to honor the vision of Zack Snyder. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. This is 2021. This is not, okay, widescreen is starting to make its way to TVs and theaters and such. No, this has been the established thing for what, over a decade now? Two decades? Like, widescreen is what it is. So for him to present an entire movie like this, that is him being pretentious. That is him trying to be a pretentious, I'm better than you cocksucker again. In addition to this.
But you do know why he did that, right?
I know why he did that. And it's still a bullshit reason, because he filmed some of the scenes for IMAX in that ratio and loved it so much.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, I understand the reasoning behind it. It's bullshit reasoning.
I didn't care. The 4-3 didn't bother me. I didn't care.
I figured it wouldn't, but you also own a VCR. So yeah. The fact that he put in chapter titles and that each chapter title was a line from that chapter. Again, this guy wants to be Quentin Tarantino. This guy is not Quentin Tarantino. This 4-hour movie probably should have been 2 movies. Probably should have been 3 movies. I think he could have actually spread it out to a 6-hour and made it into a trilogy, each mother box being collected in one of the movies. But that's not exactly for me to say. Okay. I can't really speak to that and the creative process because I'm not a filmmaker. So I will walk away from that one. Some of the extended scenes, you're right, were absolutely good. Some of them really needed to be on the cutting room floor. There were too many scenes in here. This movie was too filled with scenes. So one thing that bothered me in the 2017 version and in this one, why does Wonder Woman have super speed? And only in the bank. Nowhere else does she have super speed. Like, they make it a point to show the Flash's super speed many times. And I loved this. I mean, they really, really gave the Flash some screen time and some real Speed Force shit going on. It was great. They had the whole Superman is the only one as fast as the Flash, which was great. I'm glad that they kept that in this version as well. Why did Wonder Woman have super speed and super reflexes when the guy had a fully automatic rifle and was spraying it down the line of people? And she was just like, again, that's not one of Wonder Woman's powers. And she only had it in that one particular scene.
Yeah, yes, you brought that up. We watched the first one 4 years ago, almost 3.5 years ago. Yep. And I stand by. I have no idea why they did that. But yeah, she doesn't have super speed, so it doesn't make sense. And that was the only time in the movie she used it.
Yep. I understand that the Amazonians are proud people, and I understand that they have their traditions. Dude just fucking teleported using a beam of light into the center of this room where you're keeping the mother box. And your idea is to knock out some wooden trees, essentially, to drop some stone pillars in the path leading out of here, like that's going to stop him. Like, this was their idea, was to seal off the chamber with him inside, like that was going to stop him. He just teleported in on a beam of light. You know he's just going to teleport back out. Plus, there was an opening in the ceiling. Like, it was a window, essentially. All he's got to do, him and his parademons with their wings, is just fly up through it. Like, it was pretty to look at. It was completely stupid.
Well, don't forget, they also collapsed the building into the ocean in this one.
Mm, yeah. Good thing they sealed off the top part so that he couldn't fly out. Oh, wait.
But no, I mean, that's again, the same fault they did in the first movie. So, I mean, that really isn't anything new.
No. And these were just, these were things that I, excuse me, the signal fire, you know, when they're like, we need to warn Diana. They said that when it was daylight. Yeah. The next time we see them, it's pitch black, dead of night, and they're taking their time to do a ceremony and like line everybody up and bring out the sacred coffer with Artemis's arrow. And like, if it was that desperate, you'd think they'd be like, let's chop to it now. We don't need pomp and circumstance. Get the fucking arrow up here and let's fire it off. She needs to know. Sorry, I heard you inhale. I thought you were.
No, they did the same thing in 2017, except this one even had more pomp and circumstance. It was still nighttime, but they just cut to it faster, but yeah.
Yeah. my next note was just the soundtrack is dumb. And I think you kind of touched upon this with like the villagers singing, but like the music that was playing when Barry met Iris, there's a number of spots in this movie where they inserted music like it was supposed to be a soundtrack and none of it worked.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because they didn't have the rights to use music, certain music or something. You know what I mean? Like, because of post-production, and now this is a different version. So, like, the scenes that weren't in the original Justice League, they had to change the music somehow because of music rights. I wonder if that had a lot to do with it, because we still got Wonder Woman's music.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And I'm not sure, but I know that I did read something where the guy who was doing the score for it said that he started from scratch.
Okay.
He decided to start from scratch with the Snyder Cut instead of just piecing on together what he already had. I didn't read the full article, so I don't know the extent of it. But that was what he said, was that he decided to do that. So we'll see. I guess it doesn't really. Willem Dafoe. So remembering too that these movies came out before Aquaman and before Wonder Woman 84. So Wonder Woman had come out. Wonder Woman 84 had not come out. Aquaman had not come out. So the stuff that was added in here by Snyder, again, I don't know the stuff with Mara, with Willem Dafoe, was this added in and then they were going to build off his vision for Aquaman, or was he taking stuff from Aquaman and saying, oh, I should totally give Arthur more of a backstory and
add in. Apparently that stuff was already filmed. That was not new. The only thing new that was filmed was that post-apocalyptic future scene.
Okay.
There was nothing else new that was filmed for this movie. Everything else, this was all pre-existing. I was reading an article. If you read Jason Momoa was speaking for James Wan, but then the girl that directed Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman 84, I can't think of her name.
Patty Jenkins.
Patty Jenkins, thank you. They both have stated that when they made their movies, it was based on Zack Snyder's vision of Justice League. And to them, the Snyder cut is canon and the 2017 cut is not. So that stuff was all previously filmed, yes.
Okay. The Aquaman thing was a bit of an exposition dump.
Yeah,
it bothered me that, and they did this a couple of different times when they were in Atlantis or underwater, is that everyone can apparently communicate and swim and breathe underwater and they have no problem. But when they want to talk, they have to create a pocket of air around them so that then they can talk to each other. And then they collapse the air in to water again so that they can swim around. And, you know, but Meryl was giving people direction and pointing and making little chirpy noises and stuff so people could understand her.
Yep.
But it almost seemed like we're doing this for the benefit of the audience. Because, you know, we got to have our actors talking normal and it would be too much CGI to make them talking underwater. Well, they certainly did it in Aquaman. Just saying. But yeah, we got quite the exposition dump from Willem Dafoe for his 5 seconds on screen. Well, whatever. This was one of the things that bothered me, and you kind of touched upon it. So Steppenwolf, he's got one mother box, and he's talking to whatever his name is, Davos. And he says this line, and I actually wrote it down. He says, "No protectors here. No Lantern, no Kryptonian." Why would they care about a Kryptonian? Now, Krypton was a planet that has been gone forever. They fought the Lanterns, or they fought at least one Lantern in the Battle of Earth. So they know about the Green Lanterns. The Green Lanterns protect the entire galaxy. Kryptonians do not. Kryptonians stayed on their planet. They did some scientific exploration, but it was only Earth's yellow sun that gave them their powers. And they did not establish a base here or anything like that. So this is not like a known force like the Green Lanterns. If he had said no Lanterns here, no old gods, that would have made more sense. But for him to say no Kryptonian, now one might make the argument, which I can feel like you might be ready to do, that, well, they'd been keeping an eye on Earth. And so they knew that the Kryptonian was, you know, a threat. Incorrect. Because, again, in some of the most backward, stupid fucking logic that I can't even piece together in my head, they said that somehow they came to this planet, they activated the cubes, they marked it for anti-life, and they were like, yeah, we're going to take over this world. And then they got fought back in like 5 seconds, which was really weird to see. But you were led to believe that they had started an invasion, that they were really kicking some ass here. And then they got driven off the planet and the mother boxes were stuck here. And they forgot where it was. They forgot which planet this was, which is why they've never come back. And they're waiting for the mother boxes to reach out, because somehow this race of beings that makes it their job to conquer planet after planet and turn it into a version of their own planet forgot the one that they were invading, where their leader got mortally wounded. Like, somehow they just – it slipped their mind. Nobody wrote it down. Nobody, like, had Google Maps and said, check my last route. They didn't leave a little beacon as the hundreds of ships were flying away. They just forgot that this is where they left their stuff. And so all these years they've been going, oh, shucks. When is that going to get activated so that we can find it again? So you can't say that, oh, they've been monitoring this planet and they know that the Kryptonian is a threat. How would they, if they don't even know that this planet exists technically?
No, I got nothing.
Okay. That really bothered me, and it really bothered me how much they were like – they even said later on, they were like, you know, oh, the mother boxes sensed the threat of the Kryptonian was gone. Why? Why were the mother boxes that aren't sentient – you know, they have to be controlled by something else. Why would they be monitoring and be like, we're not going to wake up until that guy's gone because he's a bad motherfucker. He wasn't there for several many years before that. So that really felt like flawed logic and a big plot hole to me. And it really, really bugged me. I did like Barry meeting Iris. I thought it was a little bit foolish for him to kind of linger there and like stare at her face while she was almost dying. Seemed a little bit reckless. You know, she's like floating through the air and her body's a rag doll. And he's like, oh, she's so pretty. I'm going to grab a hot dog and put it in my pocket. Oh, yeah, I'll save her. I still
hot dog to the dogs.
Yes. I still question the geography of this world because they, again, and they did this in the original one too. Batman took a plane with Barry to get back to Gotham after saying that it was right across the bay. Just seeing.
No. Metropolis and Gotham are right across the bay. They were in Central City when he picked up Barry.
Okay.
All right. And they didn't imply where Central City was.
Let's see. My next note was this would have been better if a mother box had been dealt with per separate movie. I really think that, you know, again, up until this point, I have tried my best not to compare them. But I will say the buildup in the Marvel movies was so much more satisfying because it was subtle at first and then it started growing. Like you didn't even realize in the beginning that they were Infinity Stones. And then once you did the buildup and you're like, oh my God, when are we going to learn about the next one? So like this one, we got the origin story of the mother boxes. We got to see all three of them be found, put together, blah, 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 and be destroyed. Like we got the entire life cycle of three of the most powerful artifacts in the universe in one movie. There were a lot of backstories. There was a lot of exposition. Like I said, that just kind of goes to the, there could have been fewer scenes in this. You know, some of them could have been trimmed down, left on the cutting room floor. One of my notes was, quick, Mira, make an air bubble so that the audience can hear dialogue. Was it just me, or was Cyborg a dickhead throughout this whole movie?
Yeah, so Cyborg's character in this film was way... actually, no. He was more of a dickhead in the 2017 cut after seeing both of them side by each. Whereas in this one, it explains why he's angry more, because he essentially died and his dad made him... basically what was left was... couple of stub arms and nothing from the waist down. And his dad used the mother boxes to create him as being Cyborg. So he was angry.
Yep.
And also trying to deal with his new body and everything. I like that we got to see him with scenes of him trying to figure out how to fly. He just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. We got to see him with scenes of him trying to, like, his dad explaining how he's a supercomputer and how he can tap into things and figure things out. Whereas in the original cut, he could just do everything. Mm-hmm. So I did like, we got to see that he had to learn how to do this stuff and that he was angry because of what happened to him. But I thought he was a way bigger asshole in the original cut than this one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They did say a lot of the stuff that I was reading said that this movie was more of a redemptive arc for Cyborg's character. Not as in like it's his redemption story, but it was, they said that it kind of redeemed the character.
Yeah. I can totally see that. After watching both movies like I did.
So my next note, and this goes back to the argument that I was making earlier. This is what I wrote. So Dr. Stone activated the mother box to save his son, rebuild his son. He activated the mother box to save his son.
Yep.
Nobody came. Nobody noticed. Nothing. But then when Superman died, it activated a different one. And now they're like, oh, we need to go.
Well, because Superman's dead. Come on.
Yeah.
But yes, I did notice that as well.
Yeah. And
but then again, they explain it away with Superman's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bad explanation. And I really think that was faulty storytelling in my book. The ship showed us a future where Superman went all evil. I get that. I thought that was going to be the only existence of the black suit for Superman. Didn't realize he was going to walk through all the other suits in the ship and be like, nope, time to go black.
But here's the thing. The black suit is not him being evil. The black suit is a solar suit for regenerative powers. Like, I read a whole thing about it.
Gotcha.
That was what we used in the comics. Like, when he came back to life in the comics, the black suit was like a solar suit that helped him regenerate his powers through the sun.
Gotcha.
Which is why at the end of the movie, in the post-apocalyptic future, he's got the red and yellow back on, or the red and blue and yellow one back on, because he doesn't need the black one anymore. That was my takeaway on that one.
The last two notes that I had, one of them was the cutting room floor exists for a reason, and the final one was Victor's CGI is terrible. I struggled with a lot of Cyborg CGI. I felt like sometimes the mouth didn't sync up with the words. I felt like it really, like, they basically made everything on him CGI. I didn't feel like there was an actual actor in there, and it kind of threw me, and it's too bad because he's a good character. You know, look at Doom Patrol. That is a human wearing some prosthetics. Actually, have you even done season two of Doom Patrol yet?
I have not. No.
Okay. So Cyborg is in that quite heavily.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll be interested to get your take on that. But overall, I did enjoy this movie, even though I have those complaints. I did enjoy this movie. I found myself like leaning forward in my seat a few times, or like really getting amped up, or really getting emotional over some of the stuff. You know, Barry running through the Speed Force at the end there, as he was running so fast that he turned back time, you know,
yes.
And say, make your own future, make your own past. I was like, to borrow your term, I was marking out hard. I was like,
I thought that was pretty Barry! Awesome.
There was a lot in this movie that I really enjoyed. The humor was good. Some of the additional backstories for people were great. Mm-hmm. A lot of it could have been cut. You know, there was an awful lot that just didn't need to, you know, great. We got to see Simmons as Commissioner Gordon with the hair and everything. That's great. Did it bring anything to the story? No, it brought nothing to the story. So kudos for getting him on the screen and showing us what could have been. But again, I think it could have been cut. I am surprised at how much I did enjoy this movie. I went into this thinking I was going to hate it. And I came out saying, wow, that was actually really good. I couldn't dedicate another 4 hours of my life to watching it, though. I really think that he should have split it up. You know, if he really wanted to be Tarantino, Tarantino split up Kill Bill.
That's true.
But again, I think that this was a gift from Warner Brothers, if you will. It was something along those lines where basically they were like, here, do what you want with this, and we'll let you do whatever you want, because the movie's already been out. It's already made us money. At this point, you can't undo that. We've still made money.
Yeah, they even spent more money on it.
Yeah. They have since then said, like you said, this is not going to continue. There will not be any Snyder universe. All the stuff that he built up to, you know, Deathstroke and the future and Martian Manhunter, which, how cool was that? Come on.
That was cool. I liked
Martian Manhunter. I enjoyed seeing him. With the boss from Blacklist.
Yep.
Fuck yeah. That was great. So, you know, all that stuff, no, that's not going to happen. Nothing else will happen. The Green Lantern Corps would have been great. You know, we saw the ring fly off. Is it going to find Hal Jordan? Who's it going to find?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we won't see any of that stuff. So this was a one and done. The Ayer cut is not going to happen. They are not going to let David Ayer release his version of Suicide Squad, because they're like, look, we did this once. I think Zack Snyder, I think that either he had something on them, or they were like, look, this guy has been through a ton. The reason that he left this movie was because his child committed suicide. You know, he deserves a chance to do what he wants to do. Great. Yeah. Absolutely. But they're also putting down their foot and saying, no, David Ayer, we're not extending the same to you. This is not the business we're in. This was a one and done.
Yeah, it's interesting because we still have you know, more movies coming out.
Yep.
You know, there's going to be the Flash movie. There's the Suicide Squad movie coming out this year.
There's going to be Peacemaker, the TV series.
Yeah. Black Adam's still coming out still, but
a second Aquaman, a third Wonder Woman.
Yes, we're still going to have Jason Momoa as Aquaman. We're still going to have Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, and Margot Robbie is still going to be playing Harley Quinn in the new Suicide Squad movie. Yeah, but it's not going to be connected somehow. They would literally have to stop making any of the movies now and start over from scratch with all new actors playing these characters and just restart and relaunch if they wanted to do a universe like Marvel was. It's never going to happen. You know, we're just going to get the movies we're going to get, and whatever it is, what it is.
Marvel did that. You know, if you think back, they had the Spider-Man movies. They had the Fantastic Four movies. They had and I know Marvel wasn't involved in any of those.
Right.
But, you know, you had those movies that were created, and then Marvel came along and said, we want to do it ourselves, and we want to do it under our banner. And that's part of the key, is that Marvel was created specifically for that, whereas the DC movies are under Warner Brothers, which already has an established foothold of movies. It already has all of these different tent poles. It has people who are in charge of these big things that have no business talking about comic book movies, whereas Marvel Studios was made just for Marvel movies.
Yep. Yeah, no, so there's definitely a huge difference. But it's still interesting.
Yep. And it was quite enjoyable. I enjoyed a lot of this movie. It was too long. And I purposely watched it in one sitting, and I did not play a game or scroll on my phone or anything. I sat there and I watched the movie to make sure that I was giving it a fair shake, and I enjoyed it.
Yep.
But I still had some major issues. I mean, the whole reason behind the mother boxes is just, that really doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, there's definitely some holes. There's no doubt about that. Kind of like my summation of, I enjoyed it. I had my issues with it, just like I enjoyed the 2017, kind of had my issues with it. Mm-hmm. Definitely not the greatest superhero movie I've ever seen, but I was pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed it when I didn't think I would at all. I thought I was going to fucking despise it.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, but I've heard it's never going to be released on home video.
Nope, but you know what they're doing now? They're going to give us a black and white cut.
Oh, yes. He's going to release a black and white version. Well, okay.
Because, again, he's pretentious.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I don't really think a black and white version is necessary, but okay, everybody.
Again, there is literally no reason to do that, especially when the movie's already come out in color. There's no reason to do that other than pretension. I'll be interested.
Pardon me.
One of the guys in my D&D group is a huge Snyder fan and DC fan and loved Joker and blah, blah, blah. But he knows that I don't like this stuff. So we're still civil about it. But he was I think you're really going to like this movie. He's like, I had two issues with it. But other than that, I loved it. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to be interested to talk to him about it and find out what his two issues were and how he would respond to my issues.
I'm curious what his two issues were as well.
Hopefully this week I'll be able to talk to him about it, and then I'll bring that to the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think that does it for us.
I think you are correct, sir.
I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show. Thank you.
Talk to you later. We'll